It is 3:44, as mentioned, and we are joined now in the studio by Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, who is in the midst of a very busy week, as always, but not on the ballot this time,
so you can take
that little bit of time off. Oh, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, and it's a bright, sunny day in Chapel Hill.
That's good, that's good.
It is
so
good.
What's
and
going
Earth,
on?
Well, Earth Day is
Earth
Sunday,
days, yes.
International, the whole world is celebrating Earth Day on Sunday, and last night I had the council members hang, so the national groups, environmental groups have decided to encourage people to reduce plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And last night we held up reusable bags. They were all my reusable dirty bags. I tried to pick one from each grocery store. I shop everywhere, so I love to have those bags. I've been using the bags for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Not these particular ones, but just reusable ones. Actually, I have one that's pretty old. And I keep them in the car, and it works well, but it really does save. We had the numbers, all the statistics, that an average person uses 6 plastic bags a week.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And they end up in the landfill, and they don't deteriorate over time. It takes a 1,000 years maybe to do that. So and they can end up in the waterways and our trees. So if you can use those reusable bags, you are actually saving quite a bit in the environment. We are not allowed to pass bag bans in North Carolina. Some communities had them and had the ability revoked. So this is a way to combat that.
Yep.
So please use your bags, and then. Really cool that Duke Energy has announced they are going to be doing $62 million in solar rebates. If you want to do solar, that program will get up and running this summer. You can check out their website and learn more how you can qualify to get a rebate for installing solar on your own property.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
That's very cool, yeah.
Yeah, and Duke is busy. I just passed them. They are doing the Energy Saver program in the Northside neighborhood. They were already out doing some houses. I was watching them from my window, and then went down and talked to them. And so they said people are taking them up on the offer. So it's
That's really good energy saving.
So wherever you can save that electricity and save those dollars.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Awesome.
Cool, yeah.
All right.
We worked on, let's see, last night we had the Chapel Hill High School project and the Blue Hill Design Guidelines and Wireless Communications and 1165. It was a first public hearing for all those.
Mm-hmm.
Please weigh in with your comments. They will be coming back again in May and June, respectively. Again, those are on the website, and you can take a look and you can send us your comments.
So no decisions on any of those last night.
So we always do two public hearings. Yep. We do the first public hearing, and it's already gone through all our boards and commissions. And we allow people to come and share testimony because it is an SUP, a special use permit, and process. And you go through that, and then we always have a second one so there's time to do revisions. If people have questions or input that have been, and council members had questions and input they wanted to have considered. So it goes back through the boards and commissions and comes back for a final vote at its second public hearing is usually the outcome. Sometimes it can be referred again, but normally we try to take a vote on those things.
Okay.
So those are going on. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of being out on Jordan Lake on a pontoon boat with a lot of other elected officials as we were looking at Jordan Lake, the town of Cary, some staff and elected Lori Bush was there from their council showing where the Cary intake water is. They get their drinking water from Jordan Lake and the facility there. We went down to where the Haw River comes into Jordan Lake. We'd had that significant rain on earlier Monday on the week
and
Sunday night. Sorry, it was Sunday
I was
night.
Driving through it. It was super fun.
Oh yeah, it was pretty fun. It was an event where we were at a barn event in North Orange. I thought the roof was going to come off. They all thought the roof. I thought, the roof looks pretty sturdy. but it was pretty gusty. Anyway, so there was significant rain to show the lake way up. But what was fascinating was to see all the debris that had come into the lake because it's a pretty heavy flow coming down from the Haw, and there was manhole covers from Greensboro in the Jordan Lake.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
From the Sunday rain, just from earlier.
And they get them from time to time. They're not made out of iron or really heavy metal anymore. They're made out of really stiff plastic.
Right.
And so they float a little bit better, I guess. I don't know. But the debris, but mostly we talked about, and people from UNC Collaboratorium were out there, and they talked about the fact that Jordan Lake was originally built to stop the flooding in Fayetteville and Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
It's shallow, so it's not technically a lake. It's really a reservoir. It's 10 to 20 feet deep max. And algae is just ripe for growing in there because of the warm climate we live in, because of the shallowness, because of the light, all these kinds of things. And algae is really harmful for humans and wildlife and everything, as it sucks the oxygen out of the water, and it can produce a toxic gas from that too. So that this is the frustration, and Carrie knows how to clean it out, but it takes a lot more chemicals to clean out that algae. And algae is usually the reason water tastes bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not harmful for you to drink it that stage, but it's not doesn't taste very good. It tastes musty.
Okay.
So it was just great. We're really collaborating with all of these jurisdictions to see what we can work together in partnership to clean up the lake. The group that led the trip was the Clean Jordan Lake group. They were wonderful, and they had a lot of information to share. So
cool.
They get out tons of garbage out of Jordan Lake all the time.
Yeah, so I know. Like really bags and bags and bags. Yeah. Like, I was speaking with Randy Giano before, who runs Clean Jordan Lake, and just the statistics and the incredible. I mean, you mentioned manhole covers and basketballs and tires galore that just make their way down.
Oh, like 4,400 tires.
That's an unbelievable number.
I don't know how you toss tires into that.
Right?
Yeah. Anyway. And there's very few homes around Jordan Lake. Mm-hmm. It was purposely designed that way. They had to buy a lot of land in order to flood it out because the topography was low lands, but it wasn't like a lake. And
right.
So they had been in order to make sure they didn't flood people, they didn't let people build. There were some houses grandfathered in that are along the lake, sort of off the lake, but they're close to it, but they were grandfathered in. So.
Okay.
So that was really interesting. Getting ready to go to the Eshelman Innovation Conference. This Eshelman is, Dr. Eshelman gave a grant to the School of Pharmacy for research and development and innovation. And we're going to hear some results for the things that have been going on there. The UNC regular innovation showcase was last week. Fascinating ideas and companies and discoveries and research. It's mind-blowing. I said, go there and you just learn all kinds of things. It was really cool. Three young ladies who are undergrads at UNC have discovered, and I don't remember, I'm not very scientific, as you know, a plankton that grows in cooler waters that is used in filtrating things, but it's also used to feed livestock, specifically cows. And when cows eat this particular product, they produce 92% less methane.
Oh, wow.
So it's a good source of nutrition. It produces less methane, but they're going to prove if it can grow in warm water this summer. They've got a barge and all the stuff. They won an international competition out of all the youngsters, and were flown to Sydney, Australia.
That's great.
For winning this competition. They're actually won another one too in England for this concept. And these are three young ladies who are juniors at UNC who've decided. It's just
That's
it's
awesome.
Just
yeah,
really
yeah.
Incredible. I mean, these are the kinds of things we're hearing about as innovation and ideas are sparked. On campus, off of campus, we have an amazingly creative community. There were social justice ones. I heard about a soccer training one. It was the ideas span the gamut. A lot of cystic fibrosis and different kinds of things that people are trying to improve others' quality of life. It's fascinating and amazing and wonderful, all wrapped up.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, other things going on around town. I've got a couple of questions for you before you wrap up. So, we reached out today to listeners and said, do you have any questions for the mayor? We got a few questions back. All of them were the same. Update on the Jefferson Davis Highway marker on Franklin Street.
Yeah.
What
Would
is the town doing?
Someone please take their pickup truck over there now. Okay.
And why? Okay. Why is it still there?
So the Jefferson Davis Highway marker is in the DOT, Department of Transportation, right away. So it's theirs. They have asked us if we'd be willing to help champion writing the Historic Commission to remove it.
Mm-hmm.
We are willing to do that. We were kind of waiting till things settled down and moved forward, and we were hoping we were going to have a joint letter. The town has no markers on its own property. If we had any, we would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want this thing there either, and we are working to figure out a strategy to get it removed.
Okay. Town government agency probably has to work within that.
Well, we have to approach the state legislature.
Yeah.
And that's right now, they're not taking anything that's contested on. So we're hoping to make it happen in a different way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
By going through the district commission or the historical commission?
When we're not in session.
Right. Oh, okay. Okay.
So we're trying to see what that yields.
Okay.
And we're hopeful.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe waiting until August
it will happen at some point. The timing is the thing that's just been really frustrating because we also have a project before the commissioners for our, the Council of State for our police station. All these things are wrapped up and we want all these things to happen and they will happen at some point. It's just timing is the only thing that we will wait it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other question I know that I'm hearing from Blake Hodge, who always checks the town council email archives, that apparently 10 million people were asking about trees on Estes Drive. And
yeah,
the fact that those trees were coming down.
I was asking this, like, what
at the corner of Estes and Pringley, which we did report on earlier, but they're still coming down. So follow-ups on that. That's just a big development.
So
project
a developer is allowed to take. You know, we have buffers that are required. Mm-hmm. We do a survey of significant trees. We have a tree ordinance where you're not, if the tree's in the buffer and it's significant, you're not supposed to take it down. Then they are required to have a certain number of trees at a certain caliper put back for tree canopy coverage. And so this particular contractor apparently decided he would rather take it all out and put in new good-sized caliper. That's not how most of our developers have chosen to do sites, but this is what this one in particular. And then there was blasting to go along with it. So mm-hmm. if you didn't get the tree phone call, you get the blasting phone call. Mm-hmm. They are allowed to blast. They do have to have a permit, be certified, have insurance, do before and after pictures, talk with neighbors. They are doing all that. It's hard. Most of the developable properties left in Chapel Hill now are the ones that were harder to develop in the past. And they're in some tricky places. They have interesting topography. There's all kinds of things. Couple that with a couple of landowners who own property that have ability to still timber because they're grandfathered under old clauses, but there's a pine borer beetle that's infestation in a couple of properties, so they're going to be going in and taking that out. That's going to look like we're taking more trees down. They will be replanted. You have to put, for these developments, you have to put the trees back.
Mm.
So the trees will not be the same as the ones that were there. If it was a significant tree and designated by the arborist, then it had to, you couldn't take it down. So apparently there weren't any specifically designated in the buffer zones. It may have been on the original property where the building's going, but they are allowed to take those down. And
okay.
it's just really heartbreaking because we love our trees here. They provide great kinds of amenities for us. And they help our environment, but we also just love them. And so it's really sad to see them when they come down like that. And we haven't experienced a clearing like that in a long time.
Mm. What is a significant tree? What is the criteria?
So there's two, from my understanding, I'm not the arborist, but I love trees. A significant size for certain types of trees means it's a certain age, so it's deemed significant, or if it's a rare type that we don't have as many of here.
Okay.
So usually it's the diameter or the type of tree.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Speaking with Mayor Pam Heminger, other things that people ought to know about.
There's a lot going on. As always, please check the website. We got a lot of questions about the ICE raid last week. Mm-hmm. We put a statement out, but just to reassure people, we were not informed they were coming. We didn't like that they were here. And we do our best to not get on the radar to invite anyone to even suspect they need to come here. And we work with our community partners really well. The event on Saturday to inform people was well attended and streamed to a lot of people. There are many people, and I get from everybody, you know, I'll help. How can I help? People are frightened to come to meetings and frightened to come out if you are concerned about ICE. And so, but please know that we're still reaching those folks because of streaming and communicating, and that we are getting the word out as much as possible. And the word's pretty much out. I mean, it's spread both ways. Building up trust takes time. We feel like the community does trust our police department, our sheriff departments, because we have been practicing what we preach. Oh my goodness. So it's just it's so painful as elected official to not be able to stop things like that.
We'll keep following all of that. Townofchapelhill.org is the website for more information.
Oh, so today I was out in front of Whole Foods. It's 5%. If you shop at Whole Foods today, 5% of your purchase goes to Triangle Land Conservancy.
Okay.
Which is great. We have three big preserves in our area here in Chapel Hill. One's just north of us, the Brumley property. One's in the Stone Ridge subdivision called Johnston Mill. One's just south of us, which is the White Pines, which is fabulous. We do have Irvin Farm, though, but that's used for community farming and plant transplanting traditions. But the other three are open to the public. There's Horton Grove, not too far from us either. So purchases go towards Triangle Land Conservancy for the future.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Townofchapelhill.org for more information. Got to let you go. But Mayor Heminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.